Tyler McCubbin grew up in a small northwest Iowa town of Gowrie, where he graduated from Prairie Valley High School. He continued his education at Luther College in Decorah, where he studied history and secondary education. After completing his student teaching in Cedar Rapids and West Des Moines in 2011, he moved to this area. Then he graduated and began accepting substitute teaching assignments in the Des Moines area. Currently, he has a full-time teaching assignment in Woodward Academy, where he teaches U.S. history and special education. He also went on to train for the Gay Games in 2014 in Cleveland, Ohio, where he won a gold medal in the 3,000-meter steeplechase. He was one of only two members from Iowa participating in the Games. Tyler has been a member of the Des Moines Gay Men's Chorus. For several years, he entertained us all with his musical talents, including some hysterical solos on stage. He also participated in the Gala Festival in Denver in 2012. We all have stories to tell, and Tyler has a great one for us this morning. His substitute teaching brought him to Dowling High School, and this led to where he will take us on a journey today. It is still being played out with the scholarships being offered to Liam Jameson at Dowling and will continue for years to come. Thank you, Tyler, for opening doors. We cannot wait to hear your story. Gentlemen, here's Tyler McCubbin.
Well, I do apologize for not standing up when the first-timers were being introduced, but I knew that my attention would be directed here, so I didn't want to take the spotlight off by doing that. So, good morning, gentlemen, and thank you, Jonathan, for the opportunity to speak here and share my story today. We all have had our coming-out stories, and many of them are peculiar in ways that our friends and family remember, and that we will remember for our entire life. Mine's really not any different. You know, I essentially said the phrase, "I'm out. I'm gay." That was my coming out. But my background is growing up in a small farming community in Gowrie, Iowa. I knew that I wasn't one that blended in with people very well, because I was unique. I was myself. But in that discovery, I tried to blend in with everyone. And in that, I just knew that you're putting yourself through a struggle that you don't need to be putting yourself through. You just need to be yourself. But of course, at a young age, I didn't know what being myself meant. Okay, I knew that being myself a little bit meant I'd go run 5 miles and be myself with my fellow bros on the track team. I'd be myself by singing in choir and try to reserve myself a little bit by not throwing my arms up and screaming, you know, when Wicked was popular. But I also thought, well, there's got to be something that I just don't know about myself. Maybe others do, but I don't, and I'm shunning it away and I'm putting it away. So that's what I focused on when I graduated high school, was I wanted to find myself and really discover who I was. So that made me travel 4 hours away from home so that I wouldn't be thinking about it constantly, and also so my mother wouldn't visit me all the time as well. So as I chose where I went to go to school, I told myself, you're going to find yourself. You're going to meet people who will help you embrace yourself and will help you accept yourself as well. They can only help you, but you have to accept who you are too. During high school, I was given the opportunity to travel with a music group called the Iowa Ambassadors of Music. And our first stay of 14 days throughout 7 countries was in London. And that was my first encounter with a same-sex couple. They were standing outside of a Haagen-Dazs in Covent Garden Square. And I was standing outside just trying to enjoy the wonderful atmosphere that it was. And having that be my first interaction, I said, wow, 2 men in public, and they aren't ashamed of themselves. They're not afraid to share their love. And it got me thinking, that was a sight that I enjoyed seeing. Am I gay? Okay, well, we'll take it with a little grain of salt and then see where it goes. Going into college, then, I had the opportunity to study abroad my junior year, and it was in England again, so I said, okay, history's going to repeat itself. Who am I going to encounter in London this time? Maybe I'd encounter myself. And lo and behold, I did encounter myself. I studied with a group of 11 other individuals, and in that time we were going to spend 9 months together. I was going to live with one guy in the same room along with 10 others inside of the same house. And every single Wednesday, the LGBT group at the university was going to meet. We'd go out and have a couple of drinks, we'd talk about stuff, and we'd have a good time. But I had to think, how am I going to tell this group of people where I'm going to be going every Wednesday night? I can't just tell them that I'm going with the Irish Society because they'd think that I was going to get an accent, you know, within the next month. And that wasn't going to happen. I could say I was going with the running group, but, you know, when you go out at 8:30 at night in a country that you're not used to, some people will get skeptical and worried about you, especially if you didn't come home until 2 o'clock in the morning. They'd think, well, good God, he went for a nice run. So I just said to myself, it's time to be honest, Tyler. It's time to actually think about who you are and find yourself. So I did. I eventually came out to my friends and to my family when I was studying overseas, and it was an opportunity and a story that I will obviously never forget. It's my favorite part of my coming out story was that it didn't happen on U.S. soil. It happened when I was overseas trying to actually find myself. I hadn't found myself in the own country that I was born in, but I needed a place where I could speak the same language and have an opportunity to just be myself, take a walk, feel free. Embrace my soul, embrace my heart, embrace who I was to the core. But I didn't want to forget the things of the person who I was before. And one of those was my faith. I was brought up in a small community. I was very active in my church as well. And I had many things thinking about, well, how can I reconcile my faith with my homosexuality or with my sexual attraction to men? And then, of course, the message came through that however I was created, I was meant to be that person. I can't challenge or I can't second guess who I am just because it doesn't feel like it matches up with my beliefs. We were all created for each own individual purpose. We have our greats, we have our strengths and weaknesses, and we have things that make us who we are. Sexual orientation is just one of them, but it's not the only thing that makes us who we are. So many people, as I move on into my story, ask me, well, why would you go to Dowling Catholic High School to be a substitute? So I'll back up and say, I'd always wanted to be an educator. And growing up in a small town, I didn't really have access to a whole lot of things. You know, small towns are great for having the basics and having an introduction to how things should be. But how things will be is different. And as I went into education and went into getting substitute assignments and going to Dowling Catholic, I thought, I'm going to continue to be who I am. I'm going to be the educator that I've always wanted to be. I'm going to be the person that I've always been. And I will finally have the opportunity to be a mentor to students who need somebody like myself. So I went to Dowling with the belief that I was going to be myself. And it came to be that I was myself. I embraced the tactics and the philosophies that I had planned out in classes as a teacher. I had followed through with the expectations. I dressed up in a tie every single day, unless it was indicated that we could wear jeans. And then I was like, yes, thank you. And I embrace the Catholic faith. I'm not Catholic. I'm Lutheran. But I knew some of the principles of the Catholic Church because I'm a history major. I've studied them. I've studied the evolution of the church. I know what some of the principles they stand for. So, of course, go back to the question, why Dowling Catholic High School? If it's Catholic and you know what they believe, why would you go there? I went there because professionally I'm qualified to go there. Now, of course, professional qualifications are the most important. But unfortunately in this, it seems from the diocese perspective that who I am is placed on a higher level than how I can teach and how I can work and how I can professionally collaborate with other educators. Now, I understand that they have certain principles of which they stick to. But if they're going to stick to any principle, it should be all principles. And when I was confronted by the president and the principal of Dowling Catholic High School, they, of course, asked the question, are you aware of the Catholic Church's stance on things such as abortion or divorce? And I said, of course I am. I'm a history major. I've studied this before. I know where they stand. And I'm aware with social issues. I know where they're at. They said, well, through a social media scan, we've discovered that you're engaged in a same-sex relationship. And I said, yeah, I am. And, of course, then I said, why is this becoming a problem now? Having been employed since September of 2014 and been in your school for a very long time and been given a long-term substitute assignment, it's only becoming a problem that I'm actually looking for a full-time job opportunity to take on my career to the next level, to where I've always wanted it to go. It hadn't been a problem from September to March, but now in March 2015, it was a problem. The bishop made remarks that he's not being denied the job because he's gay. It's that he's openly gay. If I'm going to bring out a Libra scale, I'm pretty sure that both of those are even. You know, one's not heavier than the other. So I look and think, what does he mean by being openly gay? Okay, well, yes, on social media I say that I am attracted to men. Okay, cool. But my students aren't going to be friends with me on Facebook. They're not going to have access to know me as a person because, first and foremost, my job is to be their educator. And my professional qualifications and duties are for me to be at a level higher than them. I'm not going to be their friend, but I'll be their mentor. But it was the sheer fact that I was publicly open, even though I hadn't come out to a single faculty member or a single student at Dowling Catholic High School. I wasn't open in any sort of way to anybody at Dowling, except if they wanted to be involved with my personal life on a social media stance, they would find out that I was engaged at the time. I had been engaged for nearly a year. I wasn't going to lie to Dowling Catholic because of who I was, because lying to me would be a greater sin than actually telling the truth. And if they didn't like me telling the truth, well, then I'm sorry. But wait, I'm not really sorry. Because my purpose as a teacher, and our purpose as individuals, is to live life with integrity and honesty. And if they didn't want me to do that, if they wanted me to lie and sit behind the scenes and take the job while also thinking about who is he? Why do we not know him? Then I would be in a different situation. I would be a Dowling Catholic if I hadn't chose to speak honestly. But I'd be back in the state where I was before of not being able to actually be who I was and who I am. If the Catholic Church can't allow me to be who I am or allow for us to be who we are, then we have a problem. And the problem is that the Church isn't willing to accept us for who we are, for being honest and individuals with integrity. And if they can't understand that, then we have to go back many years in history and in church doctrine to understand that we are to live life to the true and fullest potential that God has given us. That is the first and foremost commandment in my book, and I think in any other person's book, when it comes to religion, that we are to be honest and true if we're going to have any faith. There might be some who disagree with me, and I'm open to having a conversation. But for me, my only requirement was to be honest and true to who I was. Because if I wasn't honest and true, then I'd be a hypocrite. Which in my book, honestly, the Catholic Church is a hypocrite. And I say that as I go into this next part. When the president and principal were when I was with them in the office, they said, now if you were a female, if you were a woman, and you had a baby out of wedlock, we wouldn't be able to offer you the job. If you were a female, or if you had been in divorce before, we wouldn't be able to offer you a job. Okay. So then my challenge to them in my head was, Dowling, how many of your faculty members, male and female, have either been divorced? And how many of your female staff have had a baby out of wedlock? I had a teacher come to me after they found out that I was denied the opportunity and said, you know, in my interview, they actually had me come back for a second interview. I said, oh, and she said, you want to know the nature of it? I said, well, yeah, by all means, of course. And she said, the principal called me back and said, I've got one question for you. Because she had mentioned that she had a child. And he said, was your child out of wedlock? And she said, if I would have said yes, I would have been out of a job. But thankfully, her child wasn't out of wedlock. She had it in her marriage. But for the fact of her with just simple issues as not knowing who the individual is and shunning them away from things that they maybe have no control of is not the purpose for discrimination. I can be who I am, do my job, be a mentor, be a guidance factor for all the students inside that high school. I don't have to tell them who I am if it's not important. All I need to do is be able to be an inspirational figure for them to know where I've been in my life, what struggles I had to overcome, and how I overcame them. That's what life is about. That's what life lessons are about, is guiding people, giving them experiential stories that you've had as an individual, and allowing them to see how you've overcome those certain situations. For my story with Dowling, the thing I think about every single day is the students. I think about individuals like Liam Jameson who are inside Catholic walls, Catholic institution walls, who are being jeopardized for simply wanting to be who they are. They're being ostracized. They're being bullied. And of course, we all know what bullying leads to. Anxiety, depression, and unfortunately, suicide. For any of you who didn't get a chance to read Liam Jameson's open letter about his experience and his times when he nearly committed suicide, I do encourage you to read it. It is a really opening story. And it's just another testament for how the Catholic Church is not embracing the individuals inside of its walls and trying to understand who they are. They want to make claims about these individuals that are false. They want to assume and stereotype that based on one person's interactions or one person's relationship or one person's story, that every single person is like that. We all have different stories. But until we take the opportunity, particularly until the Catholic Church takes the opportunity to understand the individual for who they are, the struggles that they've overcome, and embrace the individual for what they have done to change their life around, and how maybe faith is a part of that journey that they've been on. Until they take the opportunity to understand that person's story, discrimination isn't something that needs to be considered. They shouldn't be telling somebody that you are not qualified for this job when that person is fully qualified. Or for a student who's trying to seek admission, for being honest and true to themselves, they have no place to tell somebody that they can't be a part of their institution. By telling them that they can't be a part of that means that, well, what other things can I be a part of because of this thing that makes me who I am? Outside of the institution, we obviously know that there are many communities that are willing to and wanting to embrace individuals of diversity. If we talk about LGBT inclusion, they're all over the place. Now, unfortunately, one of those is not Carolina or North Carolina. And we understand that, and that's obviously another issue. But what we have to do is be willing to engage in conversations with the institutions. I think we all know that, so I'm pretty sure I'm speaking to the choir with that factor. The Catholic Church, on the other hand, needs to understand that they need to be willing to have the conversations with the individuals who are wanting to converse with them. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I have not spoke to Bishop Pates about my incident. I would love to have a conversation with him, though, and spark the discourse that needs to happen with where the Catholic Church is and where its members are. If it wants to be a church of the people, it needs to understand its people. Church needs to be willing to embrace individuals of diversity, embrace the stories that they have to tell, and accept those stories as ways of inspiring others to become people of faith as well. I think the Catholic Church has the opportunity to do this. They have to be willing to be able to have the conversations. They need to be able to want to have those conversations and not continue to be ignorant and set it off to the side as it's almost not an issue. Because all that's doing is stirring the pot. Maybe they're their own worst enemy. I don't know. But what I do know is that when it comes to Dowling Catholic, I think highly of the students. I think highly of the administrators. And I think highly of the efforts of what they are trying to do to change the climate inside of the school. The students and the administrators are willing to have conversations and are willing to create safe spaces for those students. And they want to do that. My story is just a part of the journey that they've been trying to go on to get individuals and administrators to feel more accepted in an institution that seems, maybe is, well outdated. We're not looking to change anything. What we want to do, though, is engage them in conversations to make them understand that I haven't lost faith because I am who I am. I never lost faith. We've never lost faith. In that faith journey, I found who I am. I know who I am. And I want to know more about the person that I'm going to be. But through that, it must be understood that an individual can't be oppressed or ostracized because of something that the church isn't willing to talk about. So what do I want to leave you with? Well, I'm sure many people's heads are going in many places because of what I've talked about. And that's what I wanted to do. Because as a teacher, it's my responsibility to spark questions and get your minds going on a constant basis, especially early in the morning. So I hope I've done that to you. Because if I haven't, then I've got a lot of work to do on my 40-minute drive to Woodward. Am I happy with what I did at Dowling? I am. Am I happy with the pain that some of the administrators feel? No. But what I want them to understand is that I also feel pain because all I did was be honest and true to who I was, and unfortunately, that caused a lot of questions to be raised and speculations. So, to conclude things, where we need to go with the conversation, we are all prepared to have the conversation. We, I'm speaking of as the LGBT community, are willing and ready to have that conversation. The Catholic Church, on the other hand, in some places, hasn't shown that same demonstration. There's a willingness that needs to be done, that needs to be had, with solving issues such as discrimination. I was being true and honest about who I was, and I'm sure that the argument could be had that the church was being honest and true to who they are. Okay. The debate has to be had what the purpose of religion is supposed to be, and whether or not it is willing and open to accept individuals for who they are, for being honest and true of their God-given uniqueness. I want the message to be many things. But what I want it to be most of is that we have a responsibility to engage in conversations and to listen to other people about their stories. Get to know them as an individual. Because we don't know what struggle it took for them to understand who they are. If we can't have that conversation, then we have a lot of work to do. Even more than we anticipated. I hope Dowling and the diocese, particularly the diocese, evolves in the way and in the direction where they want to be engaged in conversations, and they don't want to just sum up things and say their stance. They have the ultimate right to say their stance on issues. But if they're not willing to engage in conversations about what it means to be somebody who is unique and embrace a person's uniqueness and allow that individual to contribute to their overall social climate within the school, then the task is massive. They have to be willing to embrace the task ahead of them. We as an LGBT community are willing and able to and have embraced the task of having conversations with people. We do it with ourselves all the time and with each other. But institutions who are against embracing individuals who are different than the norm, the conversations have to be had in order for people to understand where they are and where they need to be at. I wish every day that I was at Dowling. I know that I would change the climate within the school because of the way that I instruct, not because of who I am. I would create a social climate where everybody would give high fives down the hallway. It'd be happy-go-lucky. And I wouldn't have to share with every high five, "Oh, I'm gay." It's not important. What's important is that I know who I am, and if the person's willing and able to ask who I am and be open to embracing diversity, then we'll see progress. But until that point, we'll be at a stagnant level of no progress. Thank you for the opportunity to come and speak to you gentlemen this morning. And thank you. The story that I have, I hope has impacted you in many ways. But I hope for those who aren't able to attend today that are listening, that you have to be willing and able to have conversations with individuals who you haven't had a conversation with yet, if they differ from you in uniqueness. Until you have that conversation, we have no place to make claims or discriminate any individual because of not knowing who that person is. Thank you. Yes.
As a historian, looking back on the Catholic Church, what do you believe has caused change in the Catholic Church at any point in time?
Oh, yeah.
What do you believe the main thing is that's made a change in the Catholic Church at any point in time in history? I can sum it up in one word. It's called money. Now, I don't mean to offend anybody, but I have an ex-wife who's Catholic, my daughter was Catholic, her whole family was Catholic, and the priest we had in Antioch was awesome. A wonderful person. But I noticed that when Yankton and South Dakota where it was and out the country that things were different, you know. It was about making money there, period. And here's the bad thing, you know. Here's a man who is 75 years old, who's a priest that's been doing his duty forever. And they have him out in the country doing three churches and he has Alzheimer's. And they have three other priests that are younger all than him in the church of Yankton that makes money. And instead of bringing this man who's done his duty, we're going to be with two other, and put that young one out there and take care of the three of them, you know, if you do that. Tell me what's wrong with that. That's what I see in it, and that's how I feel about it. I nothing against people in the Catholic religion, and many of the priests and stuff like that I've met, they're awesome, but I found that it depends on where you're at as who the priest is as to what the rules are.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I find the problem with the church itself. And I feel personally, you would save yourself a lot of grief and everything if you would band with people to get money, and that would make a difference than having church. That's my opinion.
Well, I'm not about money, so I guess I don't bond or blend in with those individuals. But I would definitely agree with you that if I had to sum up the evolution of, or you know, where the church has stood on certain issues, it's leadership. Absolutely. And looking at different situations where individuals have been awarded scholarships, like Liam Jameson, and last year Cole Fox was given a Matthew Shepherd scholarship, and he was a student at Don Bosco High School, which is a Catholic high school. The high school embraced Cole as the individual and allowed the presentation of the scholarship, which was monumental. 2 years ago, Dowling did the same thing in 2014. They allowed an individual to be represented by the Scholarship Foundation and award the individual with the scholarship. And that student got a standing ovation from the entire population of those who were at the awards ceremony. But as far as where, you know, the evolution and where things have changed, it's definitely leadership. Among many universities across the country, there are GSAs, there are alliances or coalitions who are working to embrace and build a social climate, increase awareness and inclusion of LGBT individuals and professors, instructors, evaluators, whatever it may be. The individual as himself is what they're willing to embrace. And they've embraced that, and the church or the school, excuse me, hasn't burned down. Nothing's happened to that person since they have included those individuals. And the claim goes that, well, if you know an LGBT individual or group is formed, everything's going to go haywire. Dowling Catholic's still standing. That individual, the female student, is going on to have a successful life. The school's still standing 2 years later. I left. The school's still standing. Liam is there. The school's still standing. Nothing's happening just because individuals of uniqueness and particularly LGBT are being included. There's nothing that's happening. So the leadership, I think, is being tied and skewed with politics.
Maybe you should have asked for an annulment. I believe that works for one year.
Well, like I said, I was engaged. Unfortunately, I'm no longer. So I thought also, well, maybe if I'm no longer engaged, I can go get my job back. But I didn't want to go through that struggle.
You can do it, but you have to lie and say no.
Right. I've repented, and I am straight and everything. Well, that's, you know, there's no matter of debate that I'm not. So, any others?
Yes.
Do you think the Pope has any positive influence on this issue?
Pope Francis having positive influence on this issue. The statements that he has made in regards to willing to embrace the individual, you know, if a person, you know, he once said, if a person comes to me and says that he's gay, it is not my responsibility to tell him that he is not loved by Christ. He, with those statements, has made progress in the church. I will definitely say that. Recently, though, he has made, regarding the institution of marriage among same-sex couples, he said that, I believe the institution is one where it is between one man and one woman. As far as that issue, it shows, I'm not sure if it shows an unwillingness to embrace because of what he said before, that if a person comes to me and explains or says that he's gay, that is one that, can I get back to you? Can I take a rain check? That's a tough one. I think though that what he needs to do is the leader has to be willing to engage in conversations with individuals. I know when he made his visit to the United States that there was a meeting that he had with two people, I believe it was a male couple, same-sex male couple, at the Capitol. And that was kind of something that not everybody knew, but then when it actually, like, when it was known, then it was published, publicly made known. And it wasn't anything that was, well, I guess it was actually shell-shocking. But what conversation they had about the issues, I haven't seen anything about embracing same-sex couples. But for Pope Francis, I think that he has done a lot of work, but there is still more work that needs to be done underneath his leadership.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Got it. Thank you. It's our tradition to give a token of appreciation to our speakers. This is a recording of the Des Moines Gay Men's Chorus, which we hope that you will enjoy.
Of course. Of course. I might be in it.
Yeah,
I might
you
be
just
in
might.
It.
So listen
like,
carefully.
Oh, there's,
you
there
may,
I am.
You may hear yourself. That's right.
I may.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you all. Tyler's story is as current as the Des Moines Register this morning, in which there was yet another letter to the editor talking about this very problem at Dowling and mentioning Liam Jameson and this teacher that had been denied the opportunity to work there because of his sexual orientation. Tyler makes the point that the church needs to engage in that conversation. Be willing to engage in that conversation, and that if it is unwilling, it is a huge task. The church can't escape witnessing the conversations that are going on. And in that indirect way, the church is getting in on the conversation, whether it's a letter to the editor or what have you. Conversation is going on across the table, in coffee shops and whatnot. And the church is seeing it, witnessing it, hearing it, and hearing those voices. I can give you one quick anecdote. When Governor Vilsack nominated me to the State Board of Education, the nomination required Senate confirmation. In that year, there were 300 nominations that required Senate confirmation. And one of them was not successful. I was not confirmed by the Iowa Senate for the State Board of Education. But there was a conversation that took place between this truck driver type in a bar on the east side of Des Moines. And it was overheard by a friend of mine. And they were talking about my nomination to the State Board of Education and the Senate not confirming. And the truck driver type said, "I don't care what you say, what the Senate did to that faggot just wasn't right." Now, in his way, and incrementally, if you don't appreciate the underlying issue, you can at least appreciate fairness. And that is progress. And the church is witnessing that conversation that is going on, whether they engage directly. And I am struck by the paradox, because from what you said, Dowling Catholic High School would not be willing to hire the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, who gave birth to him out of wedlock. A man who grew up to the age of 30, wore a dress and sandals, had long hair, and ran around with women and never did marry. The paradox of it is just striking. I don't think they'd hire Jesus either. At any rate, we want to thank you for the role that you played in continuing that conversation and engaging the church, at least indirectly, in having to be a witness to the conversation that's going on in our community. It's very, very important work. Thank you. Our next meeting, June the 3rd. You're going to want to be here. It is going to be a very special meeting. We are going to have our scholarship recipients here and their families. It is going to be a love fest. These young people are just remarkable. You will get to hear their stories. You will get to meet them. You will get to meet their loving and supportive families. It is a fantastic annual event that you can look forward to. Our speaker is going to be Joshua Barr, the Executive Director of the Des Moines Civil and Human Rights Commission. So it should be a really good meeting. And you should make it a point to be here on June the 3rd. Then, on July the 1st, On July the 1st, our guest speaker is going to be none other than Congressman David Young. Now, if it's a difficult job engaging the church in conversation, it can be a difficult job engaging the Republican Party in the conversation. I'm flabbergasted that he accepted our invitation. I could not believe it when they got back to me and said that he would be here. So you will not want to miss the meeting on July the 1st, and look forward to another, well, tightrope performance. Rather like Bishop Pates gave us when he spoke to us and said, on the one hand, the church didn't agree with gay marriage, and on the other, the church was opposed to discrimination. Bishop Pates sat right over here at this table, next to Garrett Roche and his husband, Dan, witnessed a gay couple that was married. That planted a seed and was much like the work that you have done. The church was a witness. You will not want to miss being here on July the 1st to help engage in the conversation with the Republican Party. Thanks for being here today.